Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text which we shall consider this morning is our gospel lesson, which you heard read just a few moments ago. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when Joshua led the people of Israel into the promised land, these were some of the people that Joshua and the people of Israel had to defeat. There were these Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now there were a couple of other tribes of Ites that Moses and the Joshua and the people of Israel had to conquer, which Scripture doesn't tell us about. Joshua and the people of Israel also had to conquer these termites. How many of you have ever had to conquer termites where you live? Well, there were termites all over this land of Canaan. And some of us still have to fight against those nasty termites. And there was one other tribe of people that the people of Israel had to conquer. And they were the Menabogianites. Now, we had some people in Menabogi this past week. Now, we don't have a lot of Menabogianites with us in this service, but I bet that we're going to have loads of Menabogianites in our second service. And these Menabogianites, over this past week, had a little bit of a Bible study every week. And there's maybe just a few Menabogianites with us in this service. And they might be able to tell you what this Bible study was all about. Now that Bible story, the theme of that Bible story was hidden and revealed. Now there are some actions that go with this theme. Again, the theme was hidden, like you're hiding something, and revealed. So that was the theme of this Bible study. Now, the last day of this Bible study, they studied one particular verse from Luke chapter 8, verse 17. And let me share what that verse was that they studied. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. Well, later on in this same chapter of Luke comes our text for this morning, our gospel lesson for this morning. And so I'm going to ask you a few questions during this sermon, and you're going to tell me whether the answers to these questions, whether those answers were hidden or were they revealed. Now let me begin this story. Jesus and his disciples sailed across the Sea of Galilee into Gentile territory, to a territory, as you heard in our gospel lesson, that was called the Gerasenes. And in that land, there was a very strange and scary individual. This man walked around half the time, or even most of the time, stark naked. And he lived in a very unusual place. He lived in a cemetery where there were all kinds of tombs in it. And he must have been a very scary man, because people in that area kept him chained up and in shackles. But do we know why this man was so strange and scary? Is that something that's hidden from us? Or is that something clearly revealed to us? Why was this man this way? How many of you would say that it's hidden from us why this man was so strange and scary? And if you think it was hidden from us, how many of you think it was clearly revealed to us? And if you think it's clearly revealed, I want you to throw your arms out like this. Nobody's throwing their arms out. Throw your arms out. Okay. It's clearly revealed to us why this man was so strange and scary. This man was so strange and scary because he was possessed by demons. And not just a few demons, but lots and lots of demons. In fact, when Jesus asked this man his name, this man doesn't answer Jesus. Instead, he tells us how many demons possessed him. And he said he was possessed by a whole Roman legion of demons. A Roman legion was made up of between 3,000 and 6,000 soldiers. And these demons were very, very strong. So strong, in fact, that this man could break these chains and shackles which were meant to bind him and tie him up. Now, are there still many demons in our world today? Is that something that's hidden from us? Or is it something clearly revealed to us? Well, the Apostle Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There are some outdated statistics that I want to share with you right now that shows us that there's still all kinds of demons in this world. These statistics are from 25 years ago, and those statistics have done nothing but go up more and more. In 2001, every day in this country, there were 2,500 more children and young people who had to live with their parents, getting a divorce, or being separated from one another. In 2001, every day in this country, 13 more children or young people committed suicide. 16 more children and young people were murdered. 3,600 children throughout this country were assaulted in some way. 630 children or young people were robbed. And over 80 young people were raped every day in this country. Those kinds of statistics from 25 years ago tell us that demons are still around, that they're alive and well in this country. But now let me get back to our text. It's kind of ironic in our text for this morning, isn't it, that so many people in that area did not know Jesus, didn't have any idea of who he was. But all these demons which possessed this man, they knew who Jesus was. Now, again, is that something hidden from us? Or is that clearly revealed to us? It's revealed to us because notice how these demons address Jesus. They ask Jesus the question, what do you have to do with us, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? We beg you not to torment us. That's all these demons, these 3,000 to 6,000 demons which possessed this man, they were all together speaking through this man. Later on, these demons begged Jesus, not to torment them, not to send them into the abyss. What they mean here is they are asking Jesus not to send them into hell until the last day, until judgment day, not to send them into hell before that time comes. Instead, these demons ask Jesus not to send them into hell, but to send them into this herd of pigs that was feeding nearby. The first thing, of course, that the devil wants from all of us is the devil wants to take our soul. But if the devil can't have our soul, he'll just take our life. And if the devil can't have our life, the devil will take the life of any living creature. And so that's why all these demons asked Jesus to send them into this herd of pigs. Now, just because the demons, the devil, know who Jesus is, that does not mean that they have saving faith in Jesus. James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote one of the epistles that we find in the New Testament. And there's a part in his letter that he writes, James, where he talks about faith and works going together. And he says this. He says, "You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe that much, and they shudder with fear." The devil and all his demons know who Jesus is, but they bear no repentance at all for all the evil they've caused in this world. They bear no repentance at all for all the evil that they lead people into. These demons and the devil himself, they don't want a Savior. They don't need a Savior, or at least that's what they think. But again, let's get back to our text. How did this demon-possessed man react to Jesus and to what Jesus did for him? Is that something hidden from us, or is it something clearly revealed to us? Well, Jesus must have told this demon-possessed man that he could and he would do something for him. After these demons asked Jesus to send them into this herd of pigs, that's exactly what Jesus did. These pigs went crazy. They ran over a cliff, they ran into a lake, and they all drowned. Of course, as we heard even back in our Old Testament lesson for this morning, Jews were not supposed to have anything to do with pigs. But again, our text for this morning takes place in Gentile territory. Besides that, there would be most certainly a pretty good profit that would be received in selling these pigs. The Gospel of Mark tells us that there were 2,000 pigs that were feeding in a pasture nearby. But how could Jesus destroy all these pigs this way? Because Jesus meant what he said when he said earlier in his Sermon on the Mount that the life of one human being is worth more than all the birds of the air. And the life of one human being is worth more than all the lilies of the field. The life of this one demon-possessed man was worth much, much more than the lives of 2,000 pigs. Now let me tell you another story of how demons are still alive and well in our world today. There was this one young man named Pete, and he was put in prison when he was only 19 years old. Pete grew up in the area of the Bronx in New York City. And Peter and other boys in this neighborhood did anything and everything they could to survive. Pete joined a gang so that he and these other boys in that neighborhood could survive. Pete joined this gang so that he might have friends, so that he would have something to do, that the other boys in this neighborhood could protect him from, from other bad things that might happen to him. Pete joined this gang so that he might have an identity, so that he would have something to do, so that he could make a living in some way. But then, as I said, Pete ended up going to jail because he and a few other boys in this gang tried to rob a gas station. So again, the demons of this world got a hold of Pete, just as they continue to get a hold of people today. These demons somehow get people to be addicted to drinking or drugs or gambling or pornography. But let's get back to our text once more and see what happened to this demon-possessed man after Jesus healed him. Is that something hidden from us? Or is that something clearly revealed to us? Well, God's word tells us that after Jesus healed this demon-possessed man, he sat at Jesus' feet, and he was in his right mind again. In the meantime, these herdsmen who lost all these pigs, they went to the people of this nearby town, and they told those people everything that Jesus had done. Then all these people, these herdsmen and several people from this town, went out to see Jesus and this demon-possessed man who was now healed. Together, all these herdsmen and the people from this town, they were scared to death when they saw this man sitting at Jesus' feet and in his right mind. The owners of these pigs even went so far as to ask Jesus to leave this territory because they had suffered a great financial loss. And as Jesus and his disciples got into this boat to sail back to the western side of the Sea of Galilee into the territory of Galilee, this demon-possessed man who was once possessed by demons came running to Jesus. And he asked Jesus if he could follow his Lord and Jesus' disciples. But Jesus said to him, "No, return to your own home and tell people all around you how much God has done for you." In this way, Jesus left a witness there in the Gerasenes to continue to tell these people all the good things that Jesus had done for him and all the good things that Jesus could do for them. Now let me get back to this story of Pete. After Pete went to jail, he kept on thinking about what he was going to do with the rest of his life after he got out of jail. One day, Pete wandered into the prison library, and there he met the prison chaplain. Pete had never been a very religious fellow, but this prison chaplain was kind of an interesting guy. He had a good sense of humor, and he seemed to know what he was talking about. After a while, Pete started going to worship services in this prison every once in a while. And he joined this prison Bible study. He attended that Bible study every week. At night, as Pete lay on his mattress, he listened to all these other prisoners sleep and snore and curse and complain and cry. As Pete listened to all these other prisoners doing those things, he prayed to God that God would somehow direct him on what he should do with the rest of his life. And then one day, God answered Pete's prayer. He went to this one Bible study where the prison chaplain talked about our text for this morning. And this chaplain especially talked about those last words that Jesus spoke to this demon-possessed man. "Return home and tell others how much God has done for you." when Pete got out of prison, that's what he did. He joined a church that welcomed ex-convicts into their membership. And he started an after-school program where he encouraged young people not to walk the street and not to join gangs. With God's help, Pete got rid of all those demons who were working on him. Now, last Sunday, as Chaz said, we celebrated Father's Day. And we also celebrated Trinity Sunday. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Pentecost at the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what we celebrated 10 weeks ago? Anybody know what we celebrated 10 weeks ago? 10 weeks ago, we observed Holy Week. And towards the end of that Holy Week, Jesus really, truly conquered the devil and all his demons. But Jesus didn't do that by casting the devil and all his demons into a herd of pigs. Jesus overcame the devil and his demons by overcoming the last temptations that the devil threw at Jesus. As Jesus hung on Calvary's cross, the devil, through the words of Jesus' enemies, the religious leaders of that day, overcame all the temptations that these religious leaders were throwing at Jesus. If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross. He saved others, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from that cross, and we'll believe in him. Jesus overcame all those temptations until he spoke those last words from the cross. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And Jesus overcame sin, death, and the devil. As Peter said in his Pentecost sermon, which we heard last week, as Peter reminded people of what Jesus and his Father did together. Jesus was not abandoned in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Now, let me get back to all these Menabogianites who left us for a week this past week. The adult Menabogianites said to all these junior Menabogianites over the last couple of days of camp, they said to these mini Menabogianites, they reminded them of the words that Jesus spoke to this demon-possessed man. Return home. And tell your families, including your church families, about all the good, wonderful things that Jesus has done for you. You can tell your families, you can tell your church families what this demon-possessed man must have felt like singing to Jesus after he was healed. We began our service this morning by singing Amazing Grace. In our second service this morning, Jacob is going to lead us kind of in another version of that well-known hymn. And these are some words that we will sing in that version of Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.